here's the goal, squad goal of every. Remember, some of y'all been maybe raised in the church longer than me. There used to be a song, I am a CH, I am a CH, I am a CHRISTIAN, right? I feel like for us, CHRISTIAN, so it's Christians, in my opinion, us as the church, here's our goal. This is like a simple thing. I think this is our overall squad goal. Ready? Is giving everyone the best view of God that we can. Like, isn't that the end of the day? You just want them to see God for who he really is. You want them to see God, right? That's our job. Jesus did it perfectly. Jesus did it perfectly. So I've God in the flesh. I'll show you exactly what I look like. Thank you, Jesus. But how do you know if you're the church? It's not always easy, right? Repping God the way he deserves to be. Anybody feel like you've repped God exactly the way he deserves to be repped? No. No. The answer is no. You mean, you do, some of you do an amazing job. And you're just above, you know, I work with people in this ministry that just, I think they walk on water when I'm not around. They're amazing. But we don't always, right? Do we always rep him the way that we feel that he deserves should be? Nah, we don't. Say, I'm the church. And sometimes I don't do it well. That's fact, right? So it's easy to have grace on each other, but I don't think that gives us license to stay not doing it well. It's not our excuse, right? It's not our excuse. If you are the church, then let's help each other do a better job this year, a repping, right? I'm not saying poking out people's logs. I'm saying encourage each other to rep better. You work with somebody, they're having a hard time. Maybe they're just getting a little too angry, and they're your brother in Christ. Don't involve it there, but talk and say, hey, dude, at lunchtime, can we get a minute? I notice you're so stressed out. Like, you don't need pastor to make that phone call. Like, man, but Kesey, he is going off the walls here at work, pastor. That's tattling. That's not helping a brother when he needs help. Let's help each other be better reps this year. Can we do that? Coach each other up. It's Harvest Festival Day today, and this is actually one of the biggest days of the year for new season. Shocking, isn't it? This is one of the biggest days of the year. Yes, this is Jasmine's favorite outreach. She puts a lot of time into reaching out, and it's shocking because this is the one thing I love when all hands are on deck. I love people there at the park mingling. I help you mingle with people that aren't from the church. Not to be like creepy. Hey, we're the church over here. You want to come over here? You want to get drunk for air? You want to be baptized? You want to come service? Oh, man, how about, do you want some chicken? Start with that. Right? I love what we do. It's an amazing thing. Most humans that you'll find, there's variances in this goal, but most human race, you can agree, they want to know a couple things. They want to know how to love and enjoy the life they have. Right? The other day, I want to know how to love, enjoy the life I have. And I also want to learn how to be more productive in that life. Anybody of those good common human goals? Say productivity. And some of you don't want to say it. Some of you don't want to say productivity. Why? Because instantly the shame and guilt, you're like, oh my gosh, you're talking about my housework. Oh, I don't know. Your spouse didn't call me about your dishes. You know? Your boss didn't say, hey, you better get on to them. Why? Because they only showing up twice a week, you know? Say productivity. I believe it's time to produce more. I really do. It's time to produce more, to be more productive. Now, we talk about fruit. What do we produce as Christians? Well, as Christians, I told just to read what Jesus said fruit was, right? We should be producing more love, peace, joy. How much of that are we producing during this season? Say, I'm the church. How much am I producing of love, peace, joy in this season? Or am I producing frustration, agitation, and opinions? That's not fruit. That ain't fruit. It's a small message, but it's got a big impact. So trying to produce, but I'm talking about what God said to produce, right? Produce more of God's presence, maybe in the earth, is our number one thing. To see a better picture of himself in the world. And who does he want to use? Say, I am the church. So Who does he want to use? You. Right? Say, time to produce. Look at your neighbor, because this will make you feel better, because you can talk to someone else beside yourself for a second. I'll look at Christian. Say, time to produce. Time to produce. Jesse, time to produce. Like, he reproduced, right? There's a little one. He's doing his job. You know, just like pastor, I just walked the door. Do not put me on blast. I will leave. No, but it's time to produce, right? Who wants to be more productive? Is anybody just like, I produce at such a high level, dude. I'm so productive every day in my life that people just come to me for production class. Anybody? No. Right? So Ed, go see Ed, everyone, because he's got it all together, right? How about this? Anybody want to get more jack and less on your back? And I'm talking about this. What if you got paid more and worked less? Anybody down for that program? I'd love the paid more, work less program. Yeah, I'd like that program. Pay more for work less. Wouldn't you like to? How about this for Americans? What if you gave a little bit to your 401k and you got a bigger return? Wouldn't that be the choice, right? Isn't that the, like, buy low, sell high? Woo, America, right? That's what we want. We want it to produce. Man, I gave you $4.50, Jordan. Where's my million? Produce. You know, that's unrealistic. But here's more unrealistic. If we don't give them our $4.50, nothing's going to be produced at all. But we want to produce without putting in to what God's asking us to do. But what if I could guarantee you this? Guarantee, Christian. Guarantee. 30 times more production for your effort this year. Not 3 times, 30 times. Whatever you're doing, 30 times. What if 60 times? What if 100 times of your effort was producing? Can you imagine that? Imagine every one of your dollars producing 100 more dollars. We get excited about that. Production, say production. Everybody wants to produce, right? And we have the good news, and we should be making an impact of productivity on people in our lives. But here's some of the factors that keep us being from unproductive. It's in our hands. We are really good at blaming other people why we don't produce. We are. Well, I got handed this bag of crap, and they called it life. Good, that's fertilizer, bro. It's good for producing. I got this broken down, so I'll make a flower box. Why? Because you need to start producing. You know, it's in our own hands. And I say that because the soil conditions of our own hearts are solely determined by our own self. You might not be able to, I got driftwood to build my box, Pastor. Well, so-and-so, look at that. They got a golden box. Yeah, box is a box. The seed's good. What's the soil like? What's the soil like? And we can only control the soil of our own hearts, right? It's only my responsibility. Say, I'm the church. Are you taking care of your own heart? We're good at guarding our heart, right? Anybody guard your heart real good? Yeah, we guard our hearts real good. How much do we care for it? I'm not talking pamper it. I'm talking really take care of it. We'll talk to Jesus here in a minute, and we'll see what he says. But the soil conditions of our garden boxes of life is solely on ourselves. The seed's good. The word's good. And if the ground's good, you got good seed and good ground, what does Jesus promise us? What does the earth show us as a perfect picture of that? If you got good seed and good ground, what produces? A good crop. So if the crops in our life aren't going the way we want them to, and we're definitely not seeing 30 times, and we're busting our butt, there's a couple things. What kind of seed am I letting in my life? And if it's good seed, what kind of condition is my heart in for it to grow? Not what other people need to do, but what do I need to do to let that produce, right? Producing is the most important thing. And I'm not talking being fake busy. Ever know those people that are fake busy? Come on, you can admit it. We're in church. You can raise your hand. You think they're fake busy? I know every time I send Doc a song, he doesn't reply to me. He's not in surgery. It's like he's faking it. He's not doing that. Probably not even out of town. probably floating around his hot tub, not texting me. You know, Richard, he's retired, but yeah, really, he's fake busy. You know, and we just, I'm not talking about sometimes being fake busy for God or fake busy in our life. I'm talking about really producing more productivity in your life than you can possibly imagine. Wouldn't that be great? Less effort, more production, 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. Wouldn't it be great? Say harvest party. Get on with it, Pastor. This is supposed to be a sermonette. Tiny and light. This is supposed to be a wafer. And it is. It is a wafer. I want to share a small story, and I'm going to talk about Jesus breaks it down. This guy comes along. He's got this good seed. And as he's walking along the path down the middle, seed falls out of his bag on the path. Right? Birds come along instantly and crush that seed. I feed the birds every morning. From Cheerios to like the stuff. What did they get this morning? They got Rice Krispies. They love the Rice Krispies. They tore it up. The quail, they were like, yeah, bring that on, you know. But it fell to the waste instantly. They're there. They know. Almost the woodpecker lets them know, hey, dude's putting out seed, everyone. Dude's putting out seed. They're there. So seed falls down, right, hits the ground, and instantly gets taken. The second part of the seed, it falls along the wayside where it's not so deep a soil. It's just got, you know, a little dirt off the path. You're walking up north, and it's just that crumble off to the side, and you see where the weeds grow real well. It fell over there, and they got no roots. And then the sun came, and they got torched. And then there was some seed that fell in a deeper soil, but right amongst the weeds, right? And it says the weeds eventually choked them out. And then he said, of all that seed, so here's 75% of his seed, 75% of his seed, gone. He said, and then the fourth fell in good soil, and it produced a crop. But that hit me so much when I first probably got, and the Lord asked me to pastor, share it publicly, it humbled me to realize this. Jesus said, every time the word is preached, when the good seed is sown out, only 25% of people are ever going to grow it in their hearts. And that's a great analogy because we're not picking on people that are gone, but look, 75% of the church is gone this morning. So if it was full, this represents about the amount of people that would actually hear every Sunday. Doesn't that shock you? So Jesus said, only 25%. Say, time to produce. Matthew 13:10, I'll get to the scriptures. Then the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the crowds in parables? And Jesus said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And who would have thought that? Who would have thought that God would open up the mysteries of heaven to you once you got saved, you became a Christian, like that would be available to you? I mean, my own family wouldn't give me keys to the back of their house before I knew Jesus. Give me the mysteries of heaven. My grandma, who loves me, says, no, you can't have a key. But you're going to trust me with something? That shocks me. It says, to you, it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been granted. For whoever has spiritual wisdom because he is receptive, say receptive, to God's word, him who's receptive to God's word, more will be given, and he'll be richly and abundantly supplied. But whoever devalues God's word, even what he has will be taken from him. This is the reason I speak to the crowds in parables, because. This is why I speak to them in parables, because having the power of seeing, they do not see. Ever feel like you're with someone, you're trying to point out something like, don't you see that? I saw the moon in fractions yesterday, and I brought Jordan out of a conversation to go, do you see that? No. Are you looking? Are you trying? Nah, I ain't there. He's probably thinking, you're old and you're seeing things. Dang, I wanted you to see it so bad. It was super cool. Why do I speak in parables? Because having the power of seeing, they do not see. And having the power of hearing, they do not hear. nor do they understand or grasp spiritual things. Understanding what Jesus said and why he's saying it is very important to our lives if you're the church, especially. But 25% of the time, all we're getting. Like, it's very important to hear and understand what he says. I can go to lectures all day long. I used to go to these medical symposiums and zone out in the back, knowing I'm not retested on this. Phil, don't laugh. You'd probably do it too. You're there. You sign in and you get the credit, the CE credit, but you're like, I ain't remember nothing that's happening, right? Ever been in one of those? I call that Latin class freshman year. I ain't getting nothing. I can go ego sum lux mundi. We are the light of the world. That's all I got. 4 years of Latin, I should know more. That's it. But it's very important when we hear something that's vital to our lives and it's coming from God himself that we understand it. Or why listen? Right? Yeah, I'm not picking on anybody here, and always what I have to say isn't great, but let's just pick on that for a second. What did Pastor preach on? I don't know. He's rambling about. I was thinking about chicken. Right? I get distracted too. Believe me, I get distracted. The one thing I know that you can do to help others see God more clearly, because that's the goal, right? If you want to know one thing this morning, this is one takeaway. I got some more. This is one takeaway. One thing that you can do to help other people see God more clearly. You want that? You want what that is? This is an absolute fact. I think I have a slide that tells us exactly. Answer number one, work on your own seeing, hearing, and obeying God. You want them to see God in the world? Let them see him in you. I wish they'd hear God. How's your God hearing? Well, I'm so busy. Too busy to hear God, then why they want to hear what you have to say? Man, I wish you just see God in that miracle. You see, you say, I prayed for them. They were safe. And that, I said, oh, good. I'm glad you. Thank you for inboxing me. I prayed for you. They don't see it. But somehow often don't we see it. We don't remember to praise. We're so busy praying for the next thing. We forgot God in the last thing. We just didn't see it. Right? You want them to hear God? Start speaking it to them. See, that's I am the church, right? We got to work on our own hearing and obeying if we want the world to see. I'm going to do a shocking thing I rarely do in this church. I'm not going to be speaking of the Amplified. I will be using the New Living Translation. It's a stretch for me. Here we go. Matthew 13, 18 through 19. Now listen. This is Jesus, not Pastor Sean. This is the time I'd say, hey, listen. Don't think about chicken right now. Don't check your fantasy score. I pray if you check your fantasy score and I'm playing you, Lord, give me 10 extra points. Go dumpster fire. That's my name in fantasy football, the dumpster fire. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. He's got his guys, and he said, you want to know? You want to know what I'm really talking about? Like, yeah, because we don't always get it either. Right? That's the truth. Like, I don't want to say it. Say, you get it? Yeah, I got you, Jesus. Did you hear what I had to say? Yeah, I'll repeat it back to you. But you still didn't hear it? You know how many times I've come back from Walmart with stuff that wasn't on the grocery list that was supposed to be, that I said, yes, I heard you. You said toilet paper, toothpaste, and tea. And I made an acronym out of T-T-T. And I came home without any of them. I said it out loud. Doesn't mean I was really listening. Now listen, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. This is social going, church. Because he's talking to people who are following him, remember? So there's a big component of the body of Christ that gets together for one reason alone, socialization. That's it. And you never notice when you just base on your relationship at church with another relationship at church, As soon as the enemy comes and causes fight with you, you don't go to that church no more. Because it's all based on socialization. It wasn't based on God told me this is where I'm supposed to be. That's where I'm in. Right? This is real stuff. I'm just trying to put it in our world. Right? Just instantly, the devil comes on. I love worship. It was great. But as soon as that pastor started talking, oh, I'm out of it. It was so fantastic. But Randy said to try your casserole. And I was like, hey, I ain't trying that casserole. I ain't going back to that church. Instantly, the birds came, took it away, right? Matthew 13, 20 through 21. The seed that fell on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it like, yeah, that was for me. I'm so happy I went today. God spoke to me. I was on my face. It was great. We were in worship. I was the one crying, and Ed was laying his hands on, and I went over the prayer wall, and Ed prayed the exact same thing that I needed prayer for. He knew. That was amazing. I had a great time. But since they didn't have deep roots, I'm going to preach a series called Deep Roots coming up. And it's a shameful plug right there. About the Old Testament. Not having deep roots. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. Ever do something like you made a commitment to something and you knew it was kind of half-hearted? And like, I'm going to work out every day. I bought the Planet Fitness membership, the premium package. Because if I buy the premium, then I'm definitely going. Yeah, you go four times a month. And then it's been 6 months since you've been there, right? I didn't really have deep roots in my desire to work out at Planet Fitness. But since they didn't have deep roots, they didn't last long, and they fall away. They fall away as soon as they have problems. Man, I came to Jesus and I woke up the next morning and my rent wasn't paid. What is the deal? I thought he was going to, like, you are the one, you're my Lord, so I just thought you'll pay the bill. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. I knew so many guys, man, they would respond at church. And as soon as they got around their friends and their friends started heckling them, but that's not. Are you kidding me? You believe that? Aren't you smart enough to believe something like that? Aren't you educated? Jesus? Dude, weren't you just selling lines of cocaine yesterday? Dude, you're fake. No, I just found Jesus. Yeah, you found Jesus until about 6 o'clock tonight. I have a friend that just recently got a hold of me, and a demographic of people that they say is really hard to find Jesus. And my only point was just praying for him, and I try to keep connected to him. And he texted me the other day and said, my wife and I got saved at a family retreat, and she's going to be baptized this Sunday. So send me pictures. And then I began to pray, Lord, give them someplace they can dig in deep roots. Because just that moment by itself doesn't mean it's forever. Matthew 13. What's my next scripture, babe? I just hit the wrong. Let's go to my next one. 13:10, am I in? No. I'll just read it up there. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. No fruit is produced. Why? Anybody worry a lot? I come from a long line of worriers. Seriously, I had my grandmother and my mom were professional worriers. They could worry about things I never thought about as a kid. Like, wow, we got to be careful of that. There's stranger danger, stop, drop, and roll. I better not go out of the house unless I'm packing, Mom. You know, she's like, yeah, we ought to get you a gun, you know. I'm only six. Worry and the lure of wealth. Priorities. Priorities, the wrong priorities will kill you. Every time. He's saying so many people come to me and it's shallow. So many people come to me and they let the worries of this world choke it out, and they get lured off by, they think if you gain the whole world, you're going to gain God's acceptance, and that's not how it works. You could have the whole world. I know some very amazing men of God who, I just had a testimony last night, just broke the first $2 million mark in their income. Love it. But you know, I know how sold out they are for God. I know that. Money's not the thing they were after. They started this business to go do something to help people, and God just began to bless it. So it's not money, it's the love of money. The seeking after, it's the main thing, right? Get those dollars, you make that paper. God said, no, that's not your focus. And also, thinking about everything that's going wrong in your life and that could go wrong, that possibly go wrong, is also not your focus. Stop. If you're a worrier, put your hand up. See, some of you aren't even telling the truth. I want you to know I was a worrier. Yeah, if I'm not in faith, I'm worrying. I feel like I'm, you know, the mighty ship was tossed. Patchers in, great big faith. Everything could be lost. That's where I go sometimes. I have to go, okay, no. You can do whatever, Lord. I remember that. So I'm not picking on us, but I'm saying this is what happens to our soil. Why am I not producing 30 times as much joy in my life? Why am I not producing this? Why am I not producing this in my life? Check your heart. But I got a raw deal. Check your heart. I'm not productive because check your heart. I'm the church and we got to produce, right? Matthew 13:23. The seed that fell on good soil, said good soil. Finally, we're getting the good soil. Represents those who truly hear and understand God's word. Take the time. God, what are you saying? So many times I would read things, Charity. I'm studying, you know, and I'm looking through there, and I'd read stuff and go, oh, I don't like that. I don't like that he says that. Let me just check if it's other places. And I go through the word looking for that. That's only that. Like, he only means that. That's only that, right, Lord? And be like, no, man. I want you to understand that's for you, whether it feels good or not. And there's sometimes I'd read something and go, ah, yeah, Lord, you're not going to abandon me. I got this, because you said. Right? Sometimes. It represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce. Say produce. Who hear and produce. Who hear and then produce. Right? Who actually go, yeah, I'm going to do what the boss says. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to take that and I'm actually going to do something with it till there's production. Who needs to be more productive? Yeah. Put your hands in the air like you just don't care. Say picnic. Yeah, picnic is coming. It's okay. It's time to produce. Produce a harvest of this. He says, this is amazing. If you keep your heart in good soil, and you let good ground get good seed into it, God's word, maybe some training and doing things differently than you ever have, character, things like that. You let God work on the soil of your heart so that your heart conditions are in a great place. Let him do whatever he wants to grow. You'll produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as you plant. I hate tomatoes, but the tomato plant comes to mind every time with this. You put a little seed in there, and you get like a tomato plant that produces 10 tomatoes. Peppers, the same way. God said that's how it should be in your life whenever you plant a seed, if your soil is good. If your soil is good, things would be producing in your life. And so far as we look at its work ethic, sometimes, or it's, I got a raw deal. Yeah, you need to rebuild your planter box. Someone smashed it. Ethos Consult, hashtag Dr. Heidi, great. TikTok, boom, blow it up. But sometimes we know the reason stuff isn't growing real well is I got a sour soil. I got so many things I worry about, don't put God first in. I think about my weeds more than I think about my God. Church is just about common ground and having coffee and getting a piece of Miss Blanche's famous banana bundt cake. I don't know, Miss Blanche. I drew a blank. Church is only about one thing, becoming a good reflection of God in the world. And no matter how productive a ministry looks on the outside, if the people aren't reflecting the fruit of God in their lives, then it's not doing anything. And so that's what I love about our harvest party. I love that it's like starting over. We start planting good seed in the ground right outside our doors, and God will do the rest. But God will do the rest. So I so much want to like convince my friends to know Jesus. And like, I didn't get convinced. What makes you think I'm going to convince them? And there's some friends like, how many times you got to fall on your face, bro, before you recognize God? And I got one friend of mine that fallen more times than I possibly can imagine, one of the highest levels of society. I thought, this guy's never going to get it. And I get a text. Like, we have seed to sow. And we know how to take care of our soil. And if they can see God growing in Danette's life, they're going to start plucking fruit from Danette. You know what's inside the fruit of Danette? Seed. That's our job. Give the world the best picture of God we can give them, right? I'm choosing. You know what? Look at the time. Yeah, I'm going to end right here. Don't you stand with me? There's no songs today. All my song singers and my music players are out there at the park. They're probably eating my favorite things. Look at this, Pastor. There was rhubarb pie. We crushed it. Woo! Harvest party. Uh-huh. I got a couple of declarations. I want to say it, and then I'll ask you to say it if you want to. And if you don't mean it, just mumble it so people don't look and go, uh-huh. They're looking at your log. Kaylee was just being, she's faking it, Pastor. I heard her mumbling. Panda, stop telling her. I'm going to say it, then you decide if it's for you this year. I'm choosing good seed in my life this year. So if you want to say it, say, I'm choosing good seed in my life this year. Right? No more planting bad seed in our lives. I'm just choosing good seed. Just good seed in my life, right? Here's one, I'm going to say it, and then you listen, then we'll see if we want to say it together. I'm preparing my ground this year. I'm preparing my ground this year. Here's the last sentence. I think you're all going to want to say it, so you can say it with me. God, cause me to produce. Cause me to produce. Say, I'm the church, and I'm going to produce this year, and it's going to start at the harvest party. I'm going to go sow good seed into someone else's life today. I'm going to go be good ground for good seed, and I'm going to make sure that when they hear New Season, when they hear Ed Henderson, when they hear Larry Williams, they hear Sean Capozzi, they hear Jesse, they're going to see God a lot better than they saw him last year. And I'm not picking on my last year. I'm just deciding to be more productive this year. And if that's you and you're the church, raise your hand. I'm going to pray over our productivity and leave you to party at the park. Father, make New Season more productive this year for your glory, your name, not mine, not our logo, not our branding, not our merchandise, not tapes, not cassettes, Father, not internet, nothing. It wouldn't be about any of that here. That when they hear our name, they would see your reflection. When they see members from here, they see a redeemed product, imperfect, but producing. Father, cause us to be a productive church in your hand this year, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.